So worship is, that word worship is talking about the coming, the gathering up. And the word church basically is not in the original Greek in the New Testament. But when the translators translated, they used a Greek word called ecclesiaste. And it simply means the called out ones, the ones that come to assemble. That's what the church is. People coming to assemble to encourage one another in the faith. So what is worship? There's a word in the Bible for focusing on God, and that word is worship. Some people think worship is just a ritual, and we go through all these regimes and rules and regulations, but that's not worship. Worship simply means focusing on God. That's why when they build the church, they always have the altar and the different things here at the center. And as you come in, it's just like in the Old Testament in the temple. The center focal point was the altar when you come into the sanctuary, which means a safe place. That's why you can share your heart in the church, because it's a safe place. Oh, there's people that will gossip. There ain't no doubt about that. That happens. That's human nature. But it's a safe place. It's a place that you can come and pour out your heart. But that's exactly what worship is. It simply means focusing on God. God can be revealed to us because he sent his son, Jesus Christ. The personhood of Christ. And Christ said, hey, when I go home to be with the Father, I'm going to send one greater than I, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is here this morning. Christ is here this morning. God is here this morning. You don't get him in peace as you get God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Ongoing focus on God is the only real antidote to the worries, the frustrations, the stress that causes so much exhaustion within people and also in the churches today. Bethel United Methodist Church is a church that's growing, trying to grow. It's almost like the chrysalis, where the caterpillar crawls in and gets a thing all over it, and it gets stronger as it breaks out, and then the butterfly flies away. But church growth is more than just numerical growth. Actually, God wants every church to grow. And I'm so proud and honored that you're doing some of these things. Warm fellowship. Deeper through discipleship. What they're doing over there is discipleship with the young people. And I know you guys are discipling people on the outside. And that's part of it. Stronger through worship. And the broader through the ministry of Jesus Christ. And then we get larger through evangelism. Now, sometimes that word over the years has got a bad connotation. Oh, preacher, I don't want to go out there and knock on them doors and do that. I don't want to do it like your job. No, that's not what it is. Evangelism is sharing your own personal faith with people that are around you, whether it's your family or friends or where you work. You see, the Bible gives us three ways that we can help each other grow stronger through worship. We provide an opportunity for vibrant corporate worship, and most churches do, and I'm grateful for that. But you can also, as a pastor, I know that you can worship anywhere that you want to go. You don't have to come to church. You can listen to sermons on the radio. You can read Christian books. You can sing along with the latest worship music, with music videos on television. People can worship on their own, and that's true. But worship is better when we come together. All of those acts of devotion to God is good, and it helps our spirit. But they aren't enough to fully sustain the followers of Jesus Christ. We need worship with other believers. The Bible gives us a biblical mandate to encourage one another in the faith. That's why just yesterday, Dorothy's been on my heart all week long, and finally I called her yesterday. And it was funny, because she said, "You talked to Betty Brown?" But I was on her heart and encouraged her that somebody was thinking of her. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25 from the Good News, don't give up the habit of meeting together. Corporate worship isn't a luxury, and that's what we're doing here this morning. We're worshiping corporately. But it's essential for spiritual growth. And that's the need not only for Bethel United Methodist Church to be fulfilled, but all the churches. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We shouldn't let some of the divisions of man-made doctrines to separate us. We are the Lord Jesus Christ's church. We're all created equal in his name. As a pastor, and pastors of God's family all around the world, we're called to provide opportunities for vibrant corporate worship. Whether it's with music or testimony, those little pieces of paper we sent out not long ago, asking for thoughts and ideas about how maybe a sermon you'd like to hear or meanings of some of the things. That's when we came to do the Apostles' Creed. Lady wrote me a note. I never understood why we say Holy Catholic Church. We're open to that. We need to interact. I don't have to come and bring you a sermon every week from my own thoughts, and I try not to do that, or my own agenda. I need you, and I hope and pray that you can help us as we work together for his good. So don't doubt the ability to worship even where you work. Some people just don't understand that. They don't realize that worship is where God is, and he wants us to use our gifts that he's given to us in our vocation. You know, the things that come natural to you is one of your spiritual gifts. Maybe some of you were carpenters, and that being a carpenter is just natural with your ability. That's one of your spiritual gifts. And if you've never done a spiritual gift inventory, it's something that we can do together. It's interesting, very interesting how we can do that. Irenaeus, one of the great leaders of the early church, once said this: the glory of God is a human being fully alive. The glory of God is a human being being fully alive. When those little babies come into the world, that's a human being that's fully alive in God's image. He created us in his image. We as a society better wake up a little bit of what we're doing. What we do, what God has made us to do, will bring glory to God. It's an act of worship. Many people don't have the strength and the power in their life because they're trying to live out somebody else's calling or somebody else's dream. God gives us power to live out what he has called us to do, not what somebody else is doing. The greatest temptation, I think, to the life of worship is something other than God, as I mentioned, the golden calf. Those people were focusing on gold, the golden calf, not focusing on worship and what God was doing in their lives and trying to give them an opportunity to know what they needed to follow and have life and have it more abundantly. Not rules or regulations, but God's love. That's what the Ten Commandments are all about. And they're not outdated. We didn't throw them away when Jesus came. What did Jesus say? I came to fulfill. So the greatest temptation is this: worshiping the Lord thy God in spirit and truth. Worship is the power of God's people and what they need to become who God made them to be. It's a challenge. There's no doubt about that. So how much of a priority should worship be in the life of the church or even in your personal life? If someone were to save our life, Travis was a firefighter, first responder. He was telling us Thursday night at Bible study about one time when he saved a woman that was in an automobile accident, hanging upside down. He went to see that woman in the hospital, and she was so grateful. Ha! She said, there's my hero. And it's wonderful to hear those stories. But gratitude when somebody saves somebody's life is just special. And when we are given a gift that we could never afford, we need to let appreciation be known. Worship is the expression of that gratitude and that appreciation to God as Jesus came to save us. His love without condition, agape love we call it, grace and love without any strings attached because he paid the price on the cross. And we recognize Jesus' authority as creator of the universe, as the Savior of our souls. Worship, therefore, is one of the highest priorities of any believer, as well as the corporate church. Christianity is very unique among all the world religions, is that it's based upon a personal relationship with God through Christ. Exodus 34:14 says, "Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous." Did you know we serve a jealous God? And I'm so glad. He loves us that much that when we depart from him, he's jealous and he wants us back. The core of our faith, our personal interaction with the Creator. So worship is nothing more than an act of celebrating that personal relationship with God. Through worship, we communicate with God. We worship. We acknowledge the lordship and the divinity of God, whether we express it through music or shouting. Did you know that Methodists used to be called shouting Methodists? We think, and Methodists are a bunch of dead people. No, no, no. The whole Pentecostal movement came out of Methodism. We are a church that's alive. We are singing Methodists. We are shouting Methodists. And we're witnessing because of what God has done for us. So while we are to live in obedience to God's commands, it's not a cold, mindless obedience to the commandments of God. It's not something that we just, God desires it. He wants it. In Deuteronomy 6:5, it's commonly known as the Shema. It says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." And then Jesus was asked, "Is that the greatest commandment?" He said, "No, this one here, to love your neighbor like yourself." He added that. But the basic Shema, love the Lord your God with all your heart. The church is a collection. It's just like the Bible is a collection of stories, a people of faith that God inspired by the Holy Spirit to write it down, to give it to us. The church is a collection of people who are called by God's name, taking advantage of the grace that's offered, which we're going to share here in a little bit through Holy Communion, through the death of Christ on the cross. We are told to make disciples and live in obedience to the commands of God. 1 John 3:24 says this, "Those who obey his commands to live in him and he in them." So each member of the church is called to worship God. Each member is to spend time in prayer, speaking to God. You know, you can just talk to God. You don't have to have any appointments. You don't have to call him and say, "Hey, I need a counseling session." You can just say, "Daddy, I'm hurt. Can I crawl up on your lap and talk to you?" He'll hear you. Speaking to God is from the heart. And we read the words of Scripture at times, and we need to meditate on them. The Psalms especially, the book of Proverbs. I'm looking for another book to do on Thursday nights after we're done with the book of Revelation. I've been thinking about Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. We need those simple messages that God gave us. But private time of worship is important too for our own spiritual maturity. As the body of believers, we are constantly involved in worship through singing and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and prayer, gaining knowledge of the Word. It's one of the reasons I like Christian television. Not all of them on there are 100%. Not all the preachers in the world are 100%. But for the most part, most of them are. They're teaching the true Word of God. And that's what's important. So worship is the highest priority for the church.